Today is the first Sunday in Lent, as we've heard, and we remember that Jesus fasted for 40 days at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And mixed in there is the putting away of yeast, as we had on Pancake Day on Tuesday. Fasting is very powerful. I have never fasted for 40 days, but I know one man who did at the very beginning of his ministry in Uganda. He now has, by God's grace, a very successful outreach and discipling ministry to school children. But he, at the very, very beginning, I remember very clearly, Stephen fasting for 40 days. And I'm sure that the success that he has now is by God's grace, but it's because he fasted and prayed. And that was 20 years ago. Is there a situation that you, that I, need to fast about, pray about? A foundation that we need to lay, that God may work and give us his blessing and success. My text is going to be from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I mean the Word of God. That's the common thing between these two readings. I'm not going to say much more about fasting as such. It seems like the devil knew no quarter. He was tempting the Lord Jesus for 40 days, and at the end of the 40 days, he then comes to these three. And we're going to consider how the Lord Jesus countered all of that and a bit more. The devil cannot cross the Word of God if we hold it up in faith against him. If we waver, the devil will cross us. But if we hold the Word of God up to him, the devil cannot cross it. We have weapons which are mighty through God. Never forget the Lord. Praising and fasting is another good idea, and I want us to think too, is there something that we want to praise and fast about? Something we want to give thanks for? Charles Stanley, an American preacher, noted that the temptations that the Lord Jesus faced are highlighted in 1 John 2, chapter verses 15 to 17. The lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. Virtually all of the sins and temptations that you and I will face and may commit will be broadly in those three categories. And surprise, surprise, if you go back to Genesis 3, when the devil tempted Eve, she saw that the fruit was pleasant. Lust of the eyes. Pleasant to eat, good to eat, lust of the flesh. And it would give her wisdom. Pride of life. She wasn't trusting that God had her best interests in mind. And those are the same three categories that our Lord Jesus Christ faced from the devil in Luke 4. Oh, make that stone into bread if you're the Son of God. Lust of the flesh. Lust for food. Lust for sexual activity. Lust for sleep. And maybe others. Things that our flesh need or desire. Oh, here, I can give you. He was lying, wasn't he? Lying between his teeth. He didn't have possession of all the kingdoms of the world, but he claimed it. But anyway, he said, I'll give it all to you. Lust of the eyes. Things that we want. Money. Pleasure. And last but not least, throw yourself off from this temple. Look, God won't let you fall to the ground and be smashed to smithereens. People will see you coming down and they'll think, wow, look at this man. Angels are saving him. And they will worship you. Pride of life. Where would our salvation have been if the Lord Jesus had relied on that to get followers? If the only followers he had were people that admired him because he was a miracle worker, where would our salvation be? But no, the Lord Jesus, using the word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, countered each one of those temptations and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Psalm 119, these things were not unknown to David. Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. The word of God gives us direction. And the Lord Jesus used that direction. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God is important, vitally important, for us to shape our minds. And yet it's the Holy Spirit that does that. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. It is the Holy Spirit who works in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. So it's the Word and the Spirit together. They both are necessary in our lives in order to go God's way, in order that we're changed from one degree of glory to another to become more and more like our dear brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is extremely powerful. There is no more powerful thing in time and eternity. The world that we observe, the stars, the galaxies, the atoms and the molecules. There is nothing that has been made my tongue is in a twist this morning. There's nothing in existence that hasn't been made by the word of God, says John in the first chapter of his gospel. And they are sustained and upheld by the word of his power. And the third thing, so that's creation, sustaining, and salvation itself are all by the word of God. And we'll find, if we've had time, that the Holy Spirit is present in all of those things. But in Hebrews 1, the first three verses, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times and in various ways. But in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe, creation. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, in the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, sustaining, after he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Salvation. Salvation by the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to what? Salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the Lord Jesus showed this mighty power in his ministry. He created on two occasions, it said, that he created enough food for thousands of people. The 5,000 from two fishes and five loaves, and the 4,000. He created, and there was stuff left over. There was more stuff left over than he had at the beginning. He created all of that. I know it was very small in the scheme of things, but the Lord Jesus has the power to create. He stood up in the midst of a storm when they thought they were drowning, and he said to the he commanded the winds to cease, and he said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And they were still. There was calm. He has all power over creation. And he commanded people to come back from the dead. By his word, the Lord Jesus has shown us great power, the power of God. Is there a temptation, a situation in your life, in my life, where the word of God could help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to stand and not to fall? Remember that we take the whole armour of God to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God is in the business of making us stand and not fall. What does all this mean to you and to me, brothers and sisters in creation? But are you my brother and sister in salvation as well? I know that most of you are, but maybe not everybody here is born again by the word of God and by his Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. It's not something that we can walk around or ignore. It's something that must happen in our life. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He touches our heart and convicts us of sin, and we repent, and we believe, and we ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us. And in that moment, he comes into our life. We are born again. It's something the Holy Spirit does. It's not something we can do for ourselves, but it happens at the moment when we repent and believe and ask him to forgive us and to come into our life. And wow, such great news. We cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we have become children of God. How wonderful. Those wonderful things that the Lord Jesus died to set in action. He died to take our sin out of the way. He died to destroy the devil. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made by faith the righteousness of God in him. The passage in Romans gives us some clues about salvation again, about the need to repent and to believe. If we believe in our heart to righteousness by faith, I'm glad it's not my own work. To this day I would be ever condemned. But because of the work of Christ, I am holy and without blame, and you are holy and without blame before him in love. That righteousness which we have by faith, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That exchange, we trust, we believe, we simply have faith, and God forgives us, and all of our sins are taken away, and he gives us righteousness. And then we confess, I am saved. I am saved. By the grace of God, I am saved. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Remember that wonderful word, redeemed. The Lord Jesus has not... He's not forborne to be our nearest kinsman. He said, I will pay the price that they owe. And he paid it on the cross at Calvary. He took our sins and nailed them to the cross with him and died bearing the penalty, that we might live, that we might live in God's love, that we might be able to repent and to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus as our Saviour and Lord. What wonderful, wonderful power in the Word of God. We need the Lord, the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Lord is our shepherd. We need to learn to trust him. Nowhere in the Bible does a saved person move in his own strength and wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm one to talk. I worry and fret more than most of you, I bet. But anyway, it's a path that we all must tread. We must learn to trust him. We must learn to trust him when things go in a way that we wouldn't like them to go. We must rest in his love. In returning and rest, you shall find salvation. In quietness and confidence shall be your rest. So is there a situation in your life, in my life, that we're struggling with, to trust the Lord with, just now? Is there a situation, Andrew, you're not trusting me here? Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask him to help us to trust him. And we're not alone in this struggle. We feel like giving up. We feel so weak. We droop, as it says in Hebrews 12. We feel so useless. But the Holy Spirit of God does what? Sits and laughs in the sidelines? No. Oh, bless God, no. He delights to keep us from falling and to present us perfect before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us draw near and trust him. Trust upon his word. Trust upon his promises. And see him change our hearts and see him defeat the devil in different situations. We cannot live without him. We were never designed to live without him. And he is ours if we will just repent and believe. Fellow believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us take courage in the face of difficulties and persecutions of this life, in the opposition that comes, because we have a great hope in heaven. These days that we live in are short. Maybe they are difficult, but the difficulties are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And by God's grace, by his word and by his spirit, we have the power to resist the devil, to resist temptation, and to see God make changes in this world which would otherwise be impossible. When we are in glory, when we see his face, maybe there'll be a time when we will look back and we'll say, oh, it was such a trial then, but it is so small now. But whilst we're here, suffering what difficulties we do, we can help bring the kingdom of God alive in us and in Warrington and around the world. If we will just cling to his word and rely on his spirit, these things will happen. May the Lord Jesus bless us. May we hang on to him and to his almighty word in the power of his Holy Spirit and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.